Welcome to Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Press, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This morning we'll continue with our reading of the book A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. And we began yesterday at the end of the program. Chapter 4 begins with a verse from Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 through 7, and also verse 24. It says, "Four great beasts came up from the sea. The first was like a lion, the second like a bear, and lo, another like a leopard. And behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. It had 10 horns, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. Chapter 4 is entitled, An Unfolding Revelation. What about this beast depicted in Daniel? John's vision in Revelation chapter 17 of the woman riding the beast is not the first time that this ominous creature has been seen. It is, in fact, the culmination of a series of visions which began 600 years earlier. The first vision was the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, in which he saw an image with, quote, head of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay, unquote. That's Daniel chapter 2, verse 32 and 33. The interpretation given to Daniel by God revealed that the image with its four parts of different metals depicted four world empires. First the Babylonian Empire, then the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then finally the Roman Empire. The Babylonian Empire existed at the time of the writing of the prophecy, or the vision. That it was succeeded by the other three, and in that order, is a matter of history. No one disputes that the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, the Roman empires succeeded the Babylonian Empire, and that they are represented in that vision with what I call the Metal Man image. It's literally a timeline. It shows how the evolution of the fourth and final beast, the Roman Empire, and its ultimate destruction by Christ. Now, why are four empires seen? What of the many others which history records and which have occupied territories at least as great as any of these four? The Bible ignores them all. Why? Time has passed them by. They will not rise again. Only Rome will be revived, its deadly wound healed. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. For centuries, the seat of world power was Egypt. There were great dynasties in China. There was Genghis Khan's far-ranging empire and the vast Mayan and Aztec kingdoms of Central and South America. At one time, the Arabs controlled most of North Africa and the Middle East and much of Europe. None of these empires, however, will rise again. Only Rome will recover its greatness. As she controlled the ancient world, so she will be the headquarters of the New World Order, the dream of the United Nations. So already, Dave Hunt is linking the United Nations and the Roman Empire, the Caesar of which is the Pope of Rome, will be united again. Okay? They work together, the United Nations and the Vatican. And the United States is included. It says the United States has been the dominant industrial and military world force for the last 50 years. That dominance, however, is waning and is doomed. And I agree with the author. The prophecies are clear. The Roman Empire will be revived. With Antichrist's seat in Western Europe and the world religion's headquarters in Rome, as we shall see. So the Bible has said for the past 1900 years in the New Testament, and for centuries more in the Old, the United States is not mentioned. Okay? Now, Dave Hunt doesn't recognize any mention of the United States. I particularly see reference to the United States in Revelation chapter 13, the second beast, the wilderness beast. And it is that beast that literally raises an image to the first beast, that is, the papacy. Now, he continues with the discussion about this empire. He calls it an empire divided, and that it is. It says the two legs in the image foretold the division of the fourth empire, the Roman, into east and west, and so it occurred. Remember, the image, the metal man image, describes two iron legs, and those represent the Eastern Roman Empire, whose capital was Constantinople, and then the Western Roman Empire, which capital was Rome. And it says in AD 330, Constantine established Constantinople, today's Istanbul in Turkey, as his new imperial capital, leaving the Bishop of Rome in charge in the West, and setting the stage for the latter political and religious division of the empire. The final break came religiously in 1054 AD, when the Orthodox Church in the East broke off from the Roman Catholic Church in the West, and Pope Leo IX excommunicated Michael Cerularius, Bishop of Constantinople. So there we have the official division, East and West. The two iron legs are now apparent in history. The Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church centered in Constantinople had a disagreement over, well, the Pope's authority. The Eastern Church would not submit to the Pope's self-arrogated title, Vicar of Christ. And they also had disagreements about theology and tradition. And so there was a split between East and West. So the prophecy has already been fulfilled. He said that division between Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy remains to this day and is at the root of the current bloodshed in the Croatia, Sarajevo, Bosnia, Herzegovina region of Yugoslavia, as we shall document. As a matter of fact, Rome has, since that schism in 1054 AD, tried to either bring back the Orthodox Church under the Pope's supreme temporal and spiritual authority, or to destroy it. And the United States of America has been very instrumental in helping the Vatican bring the Eastern Orthodox Church to its knees at the foot of the Pope. Yes, that's right. The United States of America, a military and industrial power, has been harnessed by the Vatican and has now become the battle axe for the papacy. The wars that we fight here, the United States fights in the world, have the ultimate end of restoring the old world order. It's been going on almost since the founding of this country, and it's time for God's people to recognize what Satan has done with our country, what Satan, the beast, the dragon, has done with our country, what the papacy has done with our country. Politically, the Roman Empire was several times revived in the West. For example, in AD 800, under Charlemagne, the Eastern and Western kingdoms, however, were never united again. The full Roman Empire passed away altogether as a political entity, but religiously it grew larger to extend around the entire world. Today, the Roman Catholic Church has some 980 million members worldwide. Roman Catholicism is a formidable power in virtually every country in the world. And it says Eastern Orthodoxy has something less than half as many. That's why Rome uses whatever power at its disposal to conquer those people or to bring them back into the authority of the Pope. Now it says the breach between it and the Roman Catholicism will be healed under Antichrist. Now here again, Dave keeps bringing up his futurist attitudes. He believed in dispensational futurism. But in this case, he is correct in saying that the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church at least will be united. It may not be a lovey-dovey peace and unity, but it will be a forced unity. Just like there will be a forced unity between Protestantism and the Roman Catholic Church. And we've already seen the foundation laid for that in Vatican Council II, and all this religious dialogue that is taking place is not only between the churches that call themselves Christian, but even all the pagan religions of the world. We're headed for a global religion under Satan's control. That is, Satan's control through the papacy. The Antichrist has always been the papacy. It'll always be the papacy. This was what was recognized by the Protestant reformers. Dave Hunt has forgotten that and now believes that Antichrist, though it may come from the Roman Empire, will be at the end of time, 7 years before Christ's return. I don't want my listeners to be deceived by that. The papacy has always been the Antichrist of the Bible. Now, Protestants of various denominations comprise the remainder of what has become known as Christendom, a total of about 1.7 billion persons, nearly 30% of the world's population today. Now, some might write and say, well, those figures differ somewhat from other figures that you read from other authors in the past. We don't want to get caught up in numbers. These are estimates, and everybody admits that. And it just depends on what lump you put the various denominations in. Currently, I would put all the denominations in with the Roman Catholic Church. That's what was accomplished at Vatican Council II. And Dave Hunt does not acknowledge that. But the ecumenical council was literally a surrender of Protestantism. And look, you can't believe that the papacy was, is, and always will be the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist of the Bible, but yet teach all people in your churches that the Antichrist won't rear his head until 7 years before Christ returns. If you believe that, then you've exonerated the papacy. And the papacy demands that now that the Protestant Reformation and its belief that the papacy is the Antichrist has been abandoned and repudiated, then the only natural thing is that all Christians must be reunited under the Pope's authority. And that's what happened at Vatican Council II. Now, according to Revelation chapter 13, 8, quote, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast, or Antichrist. That means all who dwell upon the earth shall worship the papacy, shall obey the papacy. Remember, the most pristine form of worship is obedience. And the whole world does obey the Pope today. Now, people may throw up their arms and roll their eyes back in their heads, but the civil governments of the world impose Roman Catholic canon law upon the people. And we are under laws that originate and are compliant with Roman Catholic canon law. That's the very purpose of government, according to the papacy, to serve the church, and that it does. And this prophecy is already fulfilled. It says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast, the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome. Why? Because we obey his laws. We may not call ourselves Catholic. We may not go to the Catholic Church and participate in all the abominations of their worship. But we come under the temporal power of the Pope. That temporal power of the Pope is imposed upon us by the civil laws of this country. Many of the civil laws that we cherish in this country, like Social Security, that makes us dependent upon the beast. And that's how they control us. We all obey and worship the Antichrist, whether we are willing to admit it or not. Now, Dave Hunt continues. He says, this indicates that not only Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy will be united, but that Protestants will join together with them, along with all the other world religions, including even the Muslims, to form a one-world religious system. It will involve emperor worship, as in the days of the Caesars, with the death penalty for those who refuse to comply. And I agree. According to the papal bull, Unum Sanctum, it is absolutely necessary for every human being to be subject to the Roman pontiff. Okay, there's your Caesar. There is your emperor worship right there. And how do we worship him? By obeying him. While all the churches that call themselves, that still insist upon calling themselves Protestant, they teach that God's law is dead. Okay? But they don't blink an eye when the federal government passes laws that are consistent with Roman Catholic canon law. See, Roman Catholic canon law is very much alive, and we all obey it, while the churches teach us that God's law is dead. So that ought to tell you what role the churches are playing in this new world order. That's why I don't attend an established church. I do not attend a 501c3 corporate church. They come under the control of the government, and they serve the government, and the government serves the papacy. You know, as much wisdom as the churches claim, they are the source of the deception that's taking place not only in this country but around the world. Now it says this revival of Rome's religion, that is Roman Catholicism, or rather, I will just tell you flat out, it's Satan worship. Because the Pope does not get his seat and power and great authority from Christ. He gets it from Satan. Okay? Now this revival of Rome's religion, Roman Catholicism, will undoubtedly be a blend of Christianity and paganism. In other words, mixing the holy with the profane, the same thing that the Jews did, the same things that got them sent into Babylonian and Syrian captivity. Mixing the holy with the profane, failing to make a distinction between what is God's and what is Satan's, and then mixing the two and confusing and deceiving God's people. That will characterize not only the Roman Catholic Church throughout all of its history, but this New World Order Church. The eclectic mixing of all the religions of the world, all coming now under the spiritual and temporal power of the Pope. This revival of Rome's religion will undoubtedly be a blend of Christianity and paganism, as occurred under Constantine and continued thereafter. Remember, Constantine came from the old world empire, the old world order. He was a pagan, and despite what the churches teach, despite what the Roman Catholic Church in particular teaches, Constantine was a pagan till the day he died. And I've heard others declare that his mother, Helena, was a true Bible Christian. Well, I refute that, because if she were, she would not have made pilgrimage to Jerusalem and collected all the idols that are now worshipped in the Roman Catholic Church. Idolatry is paganism. Idolatry is anti-Christianity. And Constantine's mother was just as much a pagan as he was. Now he continues, he says that perverted and paganized form of quote-unquote Christianity eventually became known as the Roman Catholic Church. This is indisputable. Okay, no one denies this. This eclectic mix of the paganism that originally existed in the pagan Roman Empire and its mixing with a form of Christianity under the Holy Roman Empire is the very roots of Roman Catholicism. And the obvious question is, why would any Bible-believing church have anything to do with either the Vatican, the papacy, or the governments of the world that serve it, and the laws that uphold it? Well, we wouldn't, if we had our senses. If we stuck to the Scriptures, if we clung to Christ and declared Him our King, we wouldn't have anything to do with this false, so-called Christian system. Now, he says, claiming to be infallible and unchangeable, in the Latin it is termed semper eadem, which means always the same, the Roman Catholic Church stands poised today to become the vehicle for the final ecumenical union of all religions. Now, on this count, Dave Hunt and I agree. And I don't see how anybody can deny this. Now, what is the importance of Bible prophecy? The 10 toes on King Nebuchadnezzar's metal man image represented the 10 future kings, concerning whom Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 declares in the most straightforward and unmistakable language, quote, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed," unquote. Inasmuch, let me just begin by asking, when did the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? He set it up, and we know it was set up when Jesus' tomb was found empty, and he appeared to the apostles. Before that, he said, "My kingdom is at hand." The kingdom is at hand. Now, many will say, and as I have said even in the past erroneously, that the kingdom of heaven is yet to be established with Christ's return. But that kingdom was established by Christ during his ministry on this earth. He proclaimed that kingdom. And the kingdom was added to daily, wasn't it? So while it may not be visibly manifest in the world, it is spiritually in existence. It is a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that is quite distinct from the earthly kingdom that the papacy and the kings of the earth are trying to establish, called the New World Order. We'll talk about this more as we continue in the book. He says, inasmuch as 10 kings have never ruled the Roman Empire, that simple statement tells us that it must be revived under 10 heads, to be ruled, of course, by Antichrist. And I want to remind my listeners, Antichrist is the Pope. Okay, Dave believes that the Antichrist system will evolve out of the Roman Catholic Church, but the Antichrist proper is someone that will manifest 7 years before Christ's return. He ignores that the papacy has always occupied the place of Antichrist in the world. And I'm certain that if Dave Hunt were still alive today and had this belief, he'd make much more sense out of the prophecies than he does even now, even with the writing of this book. Okay, we've come up on the break. We'll take a little break and come back, and we'll return to A Woman Rides a Beast by Dave Hunt. You're listening to Inquisition Update on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Stay tuned.
Thank you. listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the second half hour of Inquisition Update on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If you would like to support Inquisition Update, please support First Amendment Radio, who sponsors the program. And thanks, Brother Nicholas. Now, Dave Hunt, before the break, quoted Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Quote, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." That one verse of Scripture told Christ's disciples and John the Baptist and the Jewish rabbis as well that it was not the time for Christ to take his father David's throne. The reason was obvious. 10 kings were not ruling the Roman Empire at that time. Failure to understand this prophecy caused those in Christ's day to become disillusioned when he didn't immediately set up his earthly kingdom. Here again, we see the importance of an accurate understanding of prophecy. In his vision, Nebuchadnezzar saw a, quote, "stone cut out without hands," unquote. And that stone, quote, "smote the image upon its feet," unquote. Now remember, I described the metal man image of Daniel as a timeline. And as I've heard Brother Nicholas teach, that timeline represents the times of the Gentiles, beginning from the Babylonian Empire all the way till Christ's return. That is depicted in the metal man image, the times of the Gentiles. Now, Christ is going to end the time of the Gentiles. He's going to come at the end of that timeline, during the time of the feet and the toes. And at the end of that time, there will be 10 toes, and they represent kings. So this metal man image will be terminated by Christ when it has 10 kings as depicted in the image. It smote the image upon its feet and smashed it to powder that it blew away with the wind. And quote, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. The interpretation is clear. The true church will not gradually take over the world. Now, let me stop right there. The Roman Catholic Church is not the true church. And it is the Antichrist church, the counterfeit church. And it has always said, by this sign, conquer. And it has been conquering and seeking to conquer all the nations of the world, gradually building its global empire and establishing what it calls a heavenly kingdom, a Christian kingdom. But it's not the kingdom of Christ, it's the kingdom of Antichrist. Now look at the difference. He says the true church, that is, the spiritual church, the heavenly kingdom of Christ, will not gradually take over the world, but God's kingdom will be established suddenly by a cataclysmic intervention from heaven. That stone cut out of the mountain without hands will strike the image in the feet. That is the manifestation of the kingdom of Christ. That's when Christ returns. Now, Christ will return to destroy Antichrist and his revived Roman Empire. And he will then set up his millennial kingdom to rule the world from Jerusalem on David's ancient throne as reinstituted by God himself. Now, I have some contention with Dave Hunt even on this count, but I'll just leave it as it is and continue. He says that interpretation is confirmed by other scriptures, notably 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, which clearly says that Christ will destroy Antichrist at his coming. Quote, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay, everyone at that time will recognize who is the Antichrist, and they will recognize then that he has always ruled the Gentile world since its establishment in about the 5th or 6th century A.D., the Roman Pope. Okay? That wicked one was revealed to those who understood the prophecies when Constantine left Rome. And in that power vacuum created by his moving to Constantinople and the Pope replacing him, that's when they recognized this Antichrist power. Paul said, he who now restrains will restrain until he is taken out of the way. Paul was simply talking about Caesar. When the emperor of the pagan Roman Empire leaves, then the restraint will be absent. The restrainer who was restraining the rise of the papacy will be absent, and then the papacy will be able to stand up, and that's precisely what happened in history. And in order to justify the papacy's universal sovereignty and his temporal and spiritual power, the Roman Catholic Church created the donation of Constantine and the pseudo-Isidorian decretals. And it is on the basis of these forgeries that the papacy claims all of its power in the world, temporally and spiritually. So this prophecy too was fulfilled. No use waiting for a future fulfillment of this prophecy when it was perfectly fulfilled in the fifth century, or the third century rather. Now, he says, then shall that wicked be revealed. When the Pope took Caesar's place in Rome, it says, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the breath of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You see, all true Bible believers have known always that the papacy was, is, and always will be the Antichrist. But the world is deceived. Okay, for a time, Protestantism claimed this truth that was believed by the Waldenses and those true Bible-believing Christians that preceded the Protestant Reformation, few in number and heavily persecuted, and many of them exterminated and completely annihilated from history. Those who claim that the papacy fulfilled the office of Antichrist in the world have always been persecuted, will always be persecuted. But much of the world was not persecuted because it was deceived. It believed the Pope was the very voice of God on the earth. Now, when Christ returns, no one will be deceived anymore, because that stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands, Christ himself, will destroy the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church. Won't be any doubt then, will there? When Christ comes down from God out of heaven and destroys the so-called vicar of Christ, the replacement of the Son of God, the one who has deceived the whole world, that wicked, that man of sin, that son of perdition that deceives the whole world, will be destroyed by the true Christ. All right, thus, the second coming, as distinct from the rapture of Christians, says Dave Hunt, I'm sorry to disappoint him, will not occur until Antichrist has been revealed and has established his one world government. Only then will Christ return in the midst of Armageddon with the believers he has previously returned to heaven, according to Dave Hunt, erroneously. And he gives a reference, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5, and Jude chapter 4. He says, only then will Christ return in the midst of Armageddon to rescue Israel from the armies of Antichrist, which are about to destroy her, to execute judgment upon the earth, and to establish his messianic kingdom by ruling the world from David's throne in Jerusalem. See Zechariah chapter 12, verse 14. So, more confusion from Dave Hunt. Obviously, I don't agree with him. Israel is Christ's heavenly kingdom. It's not a little piece of land on the eastern end of the Mediterranean that's ruled over by Freemasons and Papists and Knights of Malta and Jesuits and the papacy. If for the very purpose of deceiving the whole world, fixing our eyes on an earthly kingdom when we wait for a heavenly one. Okay, the modern nation state of Israel was created by the papacy in order to deceive the whole world and focus the world once again upon his kingdom, his authority, and his counterfeit refulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel, when God's people ought to know the truth and reject dispensational futurism. Walk out of those churches, let them starve, let them fend for themselves, and cling to the historical truth. Protestantism, true Bible-believing Protestantism. You'll find that if you read the history of the Protestant Reformers, they'll expose all these errors. It's important for us to remember what the Protestant Reformers believed and taught. They were correct. And once we understand the truth, then Rome's deceptions become more and more apparent. And I'm sorry that Dave, like myself for 50 years, was deceived by Rome's counterfeits. Now, the Bible tells history in advance. That's what's called prophecy. He says, sometime after Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, Daniel was given a vision of his own as the next stage in the unfolding revelation from God concerning Antichrist's coming world kingdom. In it, Daniel saw the same four world empires once again, this time depicted as ferocious beasts. Remember, we started our discussion about beasts. The beast that rules this world today, the papacy and the governments over which it rules, the woman riding the beast. That's what we're talking about. Daniel's vision. These same four world empires, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman, were in this vision depicted as ferocious beasts. The fourth beast, representing the Roman Empire, had 10 horns, which signified, like the 10 toes on the image, 10 kings or regional rulers who would arise in the future. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. Daniel's vision included remarkable details concerning the Medo-Persian and the Grecian empires, so astonishingly accurate that skeptics have sought desperately, but without success, to show that the book of Daniel was written after the fact. Otherwise, it would have to be admitted that valid prophecies had been made. Of course, the Bible is filled with valid prophecies given centuries before their fulfillment. Unquestionably, the prophecies we mentioned briefly in the previous chapter concerning Israel and the Messiah were all written many centuries before their remarkable fulfillment. As for Daniel, he clearly foretold the division of Alexander the Great's Grecian Empire into four parts. See Daniel chapter 8, verse 20 through 22, and chapter 11, verse 4. The next 16 verses give amazing details of the wars of Ptolemy, the Grecian general who took possession of Egypt after Alexander's death, and the wars of his successors against the Seleucids of Syria. That prophecy climaxed with details concerning Seleucid ruler Antiochus Epiphanes. See Daniel chapter 11, verse 21 through 36. A type or a foreshadowing of Antichrist. That's right. Antiochus Epiphanes was only a type of Antichrist. The Antichrist comes later. The papacy succeeded Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was only demonstrating similar characteristics to the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist, the Pope of Rome. And what was Antiochus Epiphanes famous for? Desecrating the temple of God, wasn't he? Made a false sacrifice, a filthy sacrifice, one that God would never accept. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a swine on God's altar. But the Antichrist sacrifices something just as abominable. The Mass. That's why Antiochus Epiphanes is so clearly seen as a prelude to Antichrist. A predecessor of Antichrist, a type or a foreshadowing of the popes of Rome. He says it is history declared in advance that the critics have desperately tried to prove was written after it already occurred. How desperate the pagan world, the Antichrist world, the atheist world, the agnostic world wishes to prove the Bible to be false. And when they can't prove it, they just simply say the prophecies were written after the fact. But the fact is, the prophecies were written as many times thousands of years before the fulfillment. They just can't shake this book. As hard as they try, they can't refute the Bible. That's what makes this book so remarkable. It's unique in all the world. It is God's literal words. We make no mistake when we accept the Bible as fact, if we can understand it. Now, that the book of Daniel was in fact written during the Babylonian captivity, long before these events took place, has been thoroughly authenticated. You know, only those Bible deniers would even doubt this. Moreover, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 specifies the very day the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass and be hailed as the promised one. Now here again, Dave's displaying his futurist belief, his confusion about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Someone has corrupted the timeline and made it appear that Jesus didn't arrive when he was supposed to arrive. Jesus arrived at the end of the 69th week. 7 weeks and 62 weeks make 69 weeks. And it says, after the 62 weeks, literally after the 69th week, shall Messiah be cut off. In the midst of the week. In other words, 3.5 years after the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. This is where the whole Christian world is deceived. Jesus Christ himself perfectly and completely fulfilled the 70th week of Daniel. The prophecy of Daniel's 70th week was to hail the coming of the Messiah and his sacrifice. Don't let the chronologers and the historians and the theologians and the doctors of the church convince you otherwise. Simply look at the prophecy and the fulfillment of that prophecy all 70 weeks as recorded in the New Testament. I don't know how they confused the world. All I do know is that they did confuse the whole world. And if you accept that it was Jesus who fulfilled the 70th week of Daniel, then there is no future 70 weeks. There is no future 7 years of tribulation. And it's all a lie. And what Rome and her Jesuits have done has confused the identity of the He spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Instead of acknowledging it as Christ, which is the true fulfillment of that prophecy, we've been told that it is Antichrist, that He shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease, that the Antichrist will cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease, when in fact it was Jesus 2,000 years ago who caused the sacrifice and oblations to cease, when He became the sacrifice, when He fulfilled the sacrifice. This is the very foundation of dispensational futurism and the very foundation of the Pope's false New World Order. And in order to fulfill this phony 70th week of Daniel, why, of course, they had to create a modern nation state of Israel. They had to force Jews down into the land and then allow them to build a temple and allow them to begin animal sacrifices again. And of course, Rome's just as ready to produce a treaty, a 7-year treaty, with a midterm reevaluation. And then, of course, all they have to do is stop the sacrifices and oblations. And the whole world will believe that this prophecy is being fulfilled right before their very eyes, never realizing that it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. And what they're looking at is the biggest, most complex deception since the Garden of Eden. The biggest puppet show in history. And it took the papacy, the Jesuits, and all the kings of the earth. It took World War I and World War II and the current World War to accomplish it. We simply must come out of this deception. Dispensational futurism is the very foundation of the modern nation state of Israel, so that Rome can put up a phony Antichrist through a peace treaty and then claim himself to be the savior of the Jews and the whole world. That's what the papacy has manufactured in the world with the kings, with the help of the kings of the earth and all the ecumenical evangelical belly, the futurist churches that once called themselves Protestant churches. Protestant churches that every single one declared that the Pope, the papacy, is, was, and always will be the Antichrist, that we don't look in the future for an Antichrist. He's been with us all along. I'm going to keep hammering this and hammering this till people come to the understanding. I'm getting a few emails and communications from some of my listeners that this is beginning to sink in. And it thrills me to no end. Because this phony refulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel is the very foundation of the New World Order. After declaring himself the Jewish Messiah, the papacy is going to be accepted by the whole world, and especially the Protestant world. The once Protestant world is going to accept the papacy as, well, the vicar of Christ. Christ himself. That's what Rome's wanted ever since the beginning of this satanic counterfeit church. And it looks as though the world is situated to accept it just the way Rome is writing it. What a hideous reality. Dave Hunt continues, he says, even the most skeptical critics must acknowledge that Daniel was written long before that event. Between the writing of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were 4 centuries of silence before God spoke again through his prophets. And not until we come to Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, do we see Daniel's fourth beast again, this time without any reference to the other three, which will be seen no more. Furthermore, from this point onward, the fourth beast is seen only in its future revived form. And I can't disagree with Dave Hunt too much on this. I just want everybody to know that this fourth beast is the papacy and the governments over which he rules. And they are prepared to do what Rome has always done. Extirpate and annihilate the heretics. And who are they? Just as they were all throughout history, those that simply would not bend the knee to the Pope. They would not obey his laws. They would not come to Mass. They would not confess their sins to a priest. They wouldn't worship Mary. They didn't believe in holy water. They didn't believe in the infallibility of the Pope. They would not buy indulgences. They would not accept anything from the papacy, from the hand of the papacy. And they were persecuted beyond comprehension. That's what we have in store for the New World Order. The persecution and annihilation of God's true people. And guess who's going to be helping Rome persecute us? Last holdouts for the truth. People who once called themselves Protestant, who are now ecumenical evangelical bellies, ready to join Rome in extirpating and annihilating the heretics. What a hideous reality. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. We'll come back tomorrow and continue with the book, A Woman Rides a Beast by Dave Hunt. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll